Precious tritium is the fuel that makes this podcast go.
There's only 25 pounds of it on the whole planet.
With great power comes great responsibility.
And welcome back to another episode of Swinging Through Spider-Man. We had a week break, but we're back to chronicle the story of the Amazing Spider-Man from issue zero, technically, because we had Amazing Fantasy 15 to issue wherever we end up. I'm James, that's Brad. We're reading through Spider-Man for the very first time. And how are you finding it then so far? Well, I ask you this all the time, but every time it changes.
It never really changes. At the heart of things, it's just Spider-Man doing wacky, stupid shit, and I'm fully down for it.
Yeah, this one starts, mate.
I mean, to be fair, I got to touch upon last episode. It was just possibly one of my favourite Spider-Man moments thus far was him making a web mannequin of Spider-Man and just fucking punting him off the side of a building. Was genuinely a work of art.
Talking about side of a building, we'll come on to that at the very end of this issue because there is a specific falling off the side of a building that happens in this. So this is issue 47 of The Amazing Spider-Man. Of course, it's by Stan Lee, who recently departed. So rest in peace, Stan Lee, of course. Yeah, pull one out. And John Romita Sr. Last time, I have completely forgotten what happened last time.
What happened last time was Peter Parker's arm was still fucked up after fighting the lizard. Who was he fighting? It was the Shocker.
It was the Shocker. It was the Shocker. He fought the Shocker.
Yeah.
And that
vibrations, man.
That was that.
That's pretty much it.
That really was that. He fought the Shocker. His arm got better. And he moved in with Harry Osborn.
Ah, yeah. That was a big thing, that was.
Yeah, they left that right to the end. Right to the end of the comic. That happened.
Yeah, and we got very confused about a possible Spider-Man rug.
Peter's moved in with Harry Osborn. His aunt's moved out with her next door neighbour. So she hasn't moved far at all. So she just moved next door with her neighbour, Anna May, who is the aunt of Mary Jane Watson, who is one of Pete's, I guess, love interests, along with Gwen Stacy.
And she's definitely a smackhead.
Yeah, she loves to dance. But yeah, without any further ado, mate, let's get into episode. Let's get into...
I think we should touch upon one critical thing about this issue. Well, not issue, but rather this episode. It's actually been one whole year of Swinging Through Spider-Man.
So a year ago today, as of recording, we did release our second episode, which was Amazing Spider-Man 1, if that's not confusing enough. But yeah, it's been an amazing year. We've grown exponentially. I can't thank you enough for listening and tuning in droves and accepting us as part of your community. I know that makes you happy, Brad.
Oh yeah, it's really cool, you know, having these conversations with our spider geezers, and you know, being engaged in this community is absolutely wonderful. It's something that's very odd about it is hearing people recant our own jokes back at ourselves. It's a bit weird because it's just like, oh my god, there's people actually listening to me and take into account what we're saying, especially considering that these people that are enjoying our bullshit, like, have a genuine affinity and a genuine love for Spider-Man, and we just, these two idiots, just literally ripping the piss out of it.
Oh yeah, we do destroy it. Is that the right word? We kick it in the dick. We give it a good kicking. But I can't be happy enough. Stanley, Steve Ditko did leave us this year, as we said, many times over the previous podcasts. And, you know, I can't thank them enough for what they've made. And, you know, it gives me a lot of joy in comics. I do recommend these older comics, not just Spider-Man, but Daredevil, Black Panther stuff, Fantastic Four. I recommend them because they feel good stuff. And yeah, they are problematic and they do stupid things. And, you know, sometimes the women aren't fully fleshed out in their roles, but I think they are feel good. And there's a lot about them to like and take from it and learn.
Yeah,
I'm really happy with it. I'm really happy with this experience so far. I'm really happy with the reaction. And here's to many more years of swinging through Spider-Man.
Fucking hell, man.
Yeah, no, it's been brilliant so far. I couldn't have expected it. Yeah, it really has. Thank you to everyone who listens. Really do appreciate your feedback every single episode we hear from you. And we hear from you when we aren't recording. So thank you. Yeah, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And on with the show.
On with the show. 100%
shit. Right, this one starts off well strange. It's in the hands of the Hunter. But there's a bit of exposition to get through. So this is issue 47 of The Amazing Spider-Man. Bit of exposition to get through at the start. So bear with me. The story opens with a flashback of an event we've actually never seen and has never been mentioned.
Okay.
It's a flashback of the time that the Green Goblin apparently put a 20 grand bounty on Spider-Man's head that Kraven the Hunter came to claim.
Okay.
I don't have enough. I can't think if this has happened, but I'm pretty sure this hasn't happened.
it's plenty plausible enough.
It certainly is, but Kraven, the Green Goblin, I think they've been saved for individual issues rather than coming together. But it confused me because the Green Goblin's there, Kraven's there, and I'm like, wasn't it only 7 issues ago that the Green Goblin kind of stopped existing?
Well, it is a flashback, so... Does it not tell you?
But it didn't really say that in the terms that I came to go, oh, it's a flashback. It was like, oh, this is a flashback. But I was thinking, is it even that... Is it going that far? Is it the flashback to last issue? I didn't know. It kind of explains itself later on as you read, but god damn, at the start, I was very confused.
You got Quentin Tarantino'd.
I was bamboozled. I was very bamboozled. But yeah, it's a story about Kraven the Hunter coming to claim a $20,000 bounty on Spider-Man's head. It didn't really work out.
Oh, as you could imagine.
No, as you can imagine, yeah.
He just comes up to Spider-Man every fucking time in his leopard print like jeggings. He's just like, come on, Spider-Man, let's do it. And Spider-Man just kicks his ass.
Well, Kraven did beat Spider-Man this time.
Oh, shit.
But he's too obsessed with the cash that he allows Spidey to escape.
Well, you got to get paid.
I haven't included it in the notes because I've included a lot of other stuff in the notes. There's not a lot of space that we've got, really. But the way Spider-Man escapes is one panel, he's in Kraven's grasp. The other panel, Kraven turns his head. And in the next, Spider-Man is gone.
He's been picking up some hints and tips from Mysterio.
Yeah, very much so, mate. Very much so. But so Kraven's after that 20 grand. He wants to hunt down the Green Goblin to get his money. He demands his payment, but he finds out from a henchman of the Green Goblin that it's only payable upon the destruction of Spider-Man. You know, if you catch him and he escapes, you don't get the 20,000 for that.
So Kraven just like, oh, I've got done out of it because of the terms and conditions.
Pretty much bang on. He didn't read the small print.
Like Kraven's dyslexic and he's looking at like the poster. He's just like, I don't know. What is this?
Well, to be fair, it's not even a dyslexic thing. It's just like, I've come to learn from my day job that people really don't give a shit about writing that small. It has to be 12-point font or larger.
Bold italic.
You can't fit 12-point font on a payslip or a check. So usually the important information is minuscule.
But you'd think like the dead or alive bit, it just says dead, doesn't it? Like, dead is like on top of the picture. Wanted, Spider-Man, dead or alive, but it was just dead. It could literally be a picture of Spider-Man.
No, he forgot to do his printer settings, and it has printed out the wanted poster on both sides, and he has not flipped the page.
No. You know what he's done? He's printed it out. It's actually a portrait image that he's actually printed out landscape. So it's just like half a picture of Spider-Man's jaw, and then like bottom bits have been cut off.
So Craven wants the money. He finds out from a henchman that it's payable upon destruction of Spider-Man. So Craven goes out to, you know, confront the Goblin and stalk, you know, follows his trail to the house of Norman Osborn, who of course is the Green Goblin. But Craven's like concerned that he can't see the Green Goblin and then can only see Norman Osborn in the house.
But like, put two and two together, dude.
Just... Yeah, this guy's meant to be like a hunter, and he's found his prey, and he's just staring at it.
Like I'm imagining that in the disrobing of Green Goblin, because we know that is like that is heavy latex. That is heavy, heavy latex, and my man would sweat in that. So like he must like disrobe and then just bathe in Hugo Boss or something like that in order to, for Craven to like lose his trail.
Well, this story, anyway, was tied up when Spider-Man put Craven in jail before he could kind of follow up on this money. And this is like in the last time he fought Craven in one of the later issues. So when the actual events of an issue occurred, Craven was put into jail after fighting Spider-Man. And we saw that happen.
Yes, we did.
We saw that happen. Craven leaves jail after months in jail, so he goes out on parole, swears to destroy both Spider-Man and the Green Goblin. The first thing he does is pick up a newspaper to learn that the Green Goblin has died in a fire.
Like, instantly.
For the picture of the Green Goblin, not the obituary of the Green Goblin.
Well, clearly this isn't such a bad thing, considering... This is what Craven did. And he's just out. It's been months.
Craven's been given all his gear as well, is what I've noticed. He's got like his full hunting arms.
To be fair, it's not gear. It is just 80s glam rock leotard.
Def Leppard. That's quite literally the name of the leopard he's wearing. It is the Def Leppard. That's the range of clothes by Hugo Boss that he's wearing. Yeah, but he's broke. He needs that money. Spider-Man spoiled his plans by killing the Green Goblin in a fire. So,
look,
he's not happy.
Imagine how much overheads that Craven would have had to have covered. Like, he's had to come all the way back from his jungle gaff. So
he's got no fucking overheads. He doesn't wash, buy cosmetics. He doesn't buy anything.
Travel? It doesn't like whistle to a nearby.
Have you seen his travel though? In the issues we've covered, he comes across in a fucking crate.
That's a good point. It's a very good point.
He's not like sitting there. They wouldn't let him on a bastard airplane.
Yeah, he'd just be that pure musk.
He had, do you know, in King Kong, the Peter Jackson King Kong, and they're all in that shitty boat.
Yeah,
that's him. So no, I don't agree with you on overhead. He's just a greedy fucker.
Well, how else is he going to pay for his jungle juice then?
That's true. He can find it for free.
That's what
the jungle, funnily enough.
It's what his jungle juice serum is just his own sweat. It's just been like fully died. It's been like,
dude, it's fucking heroin. It's just been pissing around in Afghanistan. Crushing poppies.
If he's the 80s glam rock man that I want him to be, it would be pure cocaine.
Yeah, so when you think of 80s glam rock and Motley Crue and all the fucking light shows, it might be inspired by Craven the Hunter, but Craven the Hunter stinks as shit.
I think you would too if you was on one of these benders that those guys are just literally throwing shit out of windows and jumping.
A bit worse than that, mate. But if you read the book The Dirt, that is a horrific book where they admit to many crimes. Very much in the vein of Norman Osborn, I think, our caricature of Norman Osborn, who Craven is actually heading off to find. So he's going to beat the 20 grand out of Norman Osborn.
What? How has he not put two and two together? It's like how everyone in Batman hasn't gone, oh no, Bruce Wayne's pretty fucking jacked. And he's probably got enough money.
Bruce, he's got the same jaw and teeth as Batman.
He's probably got enough money to fund all those crazy experiments, especially with his military wing. No one puts two and two together.
And there is a part in this comic where you cannot tell me that no one caught on to Peter Parker being Spider-Man. That no one at all caught on to. Everyone fucking knows that little bastard, Spider-Man.
Everyone. But the other thing is that Peter Parker and Spider-Man are so intrinsically linked now.
They have the same voice. They have been caught in the same place multiple times. They are the same height and build.
You're missing the fact that Dr. Ock literally unmasked Spider-Man and he was just Peter Parker.
There is only so far I can be pushed.
Although that being said, last episode, Patch was like, well, these are two clearly different guys.
He's just got to be the dumbest fuck.
Meanwhile, the spider web mannequin is just slapping off.
We've also got to mention the logic here. Craven is going to beat 20 grand out of Norman Osborn, who he thinks is the Goblin's flunky. Why would the Goblin's flunky have the Green Goblin's money?
That's a good point.
Craven's dumb.
At this point, it comes to a point where it's no longer like, you know, beating the money out of him as much as it is just a robberer.
If it's a robbery, by the way, just say no, because it's illegal for people to take your stuff without permission. And I believe if you don't give them the permission, any upstanding citizen will turn away, even in a robbery, even in a mugging. If you say no firmly enough, they will walk away.
Shout, I do not consent.
Yeah, no one's doing this small. This isn't the small print.
It's illegal.
But over the city, Anna May and Peter Parker's Aunt May, they're unpacking.
Like the anime, like.
This is a no anime zone.
Yes, yes.
This is a no anime zone, lads. Without the help of Anna's niece, Mary Jane Watson. So Aunt May, Anna May, they're both unpacking. Mary Jane Watson, who is Anna's niece, is there. She ain't unpacking with them because she's dancing.
Oh God, this
she's there, dancing.
This fucking girl.
The bags of energy can. This is only present in those who are consuming drugs.
LSD. She thinks she's dancing in glitter and sparkles. It is just dust mites. That's what.
In reality, she's fucking kicking Aunt May's medicine everywhere.
Dust mites in the fucking gentle sunshine, basking from the window, because we all know all people's houses gathered as shit.
Aunt May calls in to check on Peter Parker, who's moved in with Harry Osborn, of course, his schoolmate. Pete's doing fine, but the phone call's interrupted because Norman Osborn showed up and he wants to meet Harry's new roommate and see how Harry's getting on.
Oh, he's a fucking doting father now that he's got fucking brain damage.
If your dad isn't paying you enough attention, if you hit him hard enough in the head, he may take you to a baseball game and actually pay attention to you. Buy you a hot dog or some Cracker Jacks or
Mrs. Della, son, that's the manliest thing anyone's ever done. Here's a beer. I'm 12. You're a man now, son.
Pete, you'd think Pete would be like, oh shit, that's Norman. He don't give a fuck.
Well, it was kind of cleared up at one point, and it's not like he doesn't know that Norman is Harry's dad. Like, Norman has dropped Harry off at their university numerous times, and we sort of discovered that Harry and Peter have bonded over the fact that they've lost parents and stuff. So I'd imagine that they've got close over, like, their father figure not being there and their mother literally being dead.
Well, what I would say, Brad, is that Pete knows there's a dormant Green Goblin walking around, and that dormant Green Goblin is in his fucking house.
But he doesn't know where he's gone for good. Although, then again, he should have learned his lesson from Kurt Connors, who was like,
come back. There is no way that the Green Goblin is gone forever. There is no way that you hit someone that hard on the head that they forget forever.
Spider-Man 1 is a testament to that.
Or, but that being said, he's that brain damage now that he actually loves his son. Genuinely loves his son.
Aww, so sad.
But he's come round. he's come round and he's thanking Pete for taking Harry up on the offer and giving him company and being a good mate. And he actually seems like a decent dad.
Pete doesn't give a shit because he's in like this absolute massive penthouse.
Well, Pete, he's sort of thinking to himself, well, it's good he doesn't remember he's the Green Goblin. But wow, he's made a difference and he's got no memory. This is all good. But it's not lost on me, mate, that Norman is wearing fucking green from head to bastard toe.
He's still all about the green, man.
Norman and Harry, they seem to be getting on. The dad thing's back. Meanwhile, Crayford, the hunter, is at Oscorp asking Osborne's receptionist about where's Norman? Where's Norman? And he says that he'll come back and cause some damage with his new weapon.
Oh, God, it's literally like he's asking for protection money now. It's gone from robbery to what's the technical name?
Extortion.
Extortion. That's the fella.
This is a threat.
Like Craven's just like there in the reception. Like you've got like Detty Dant, not a different kind of receptionist who would also wear faces.
He's just Dotty Dont.
Dotty Dont. He's there like, oh, yes, this is a nice desk tidy. It would be a shame if something happened to it.
And he's got like cat claws as well, so he could just like scratch it.
He tries to move like the desk, like not the desk, like the computer, but it's like literally stuck to the desk. It's just like, why isn't this moving? Why isn't this moving? I don't want to move it anyway. It sucks.
That's a nice mahogany desk you have. It would be a shame if someone scratched it. I used past tense. I did it.
Like he accidentally perfectly carves his own face into it.
It wasn't a threat. It's followed through.
It is artistry. It is done.
So, you know, Craven's talking about this new weapon.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
It's lasers that come from his nipples.
No,
I'm not shitting you because this was mentioned on Twitter to us by a few people. A few people went, this is the nipple laser episode. I was like, yeah, fuck off. You're lying. No, it is true. The eyes, so he's wearing a lion's mane. He's wearing a lion's mane as a waistcoat. The lion's eyes are about where his nipples would be. And the lasers are coming from the lion's eyes.
Oh, shit.
And this is a paralyzing ray, which will, like, magnetize muscular electrolytes. And he's really happy with this, because if it hits Spider-Man, it'll basically paralyze him.
I'm just imagining, you know, Austin Powers with the fembots and the guns.
This is the most Austin Powers thing I've ever seen in my life. The
leopard print is fucking epic. Like, he belongs in Steel Panther. Like, this belongs in Steel Panther.
You know Bela Lugosi, like the kind of prototypical Dracula?
Oh, God, yeah.
Kraven the Hunter looks like if he had the body proportions of Mini-Me from Austin Powers, pulled it out to be a full-size human, and put Bela Lugosi's face on it. He's, like, stout as fuck. He looks like a human Guinness. Imagine if the drink Guinness, as many of you hashtag drink Pete partakers will know, imagine if that was a person. And you'd think it was Irish, but no, it is very much Kraven the Hunter. No. You would think it would be. It's not. This is it.
You would be sadly mistaken.
So Pete and his pals are all talking about a party, throwing a party for Flash Thompson, who's off to war. Of course, really, that's been going for a few issues, but they're going to throw him a farewell party, apparently.
Oh, shit. I've just realised who Kraven actually looks like. He looks like what's his name?
He looks like Wario?
Look at fucking Wario. Nah, he looks like Danny Trejo. Is it Trejo? Oh, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correct.
Treo,
that's the one.
Machete.
Yes, Machete. That's exactly who he looks like.
He does look like Wario.
Like
fully Wario.
I don't know. The nipple lasers is something I could definitely see happening in like WarioWare.
He looks like the dad of Wario and Waluigi.
fucking hell. That's the winner.
I do not want to know what their mum looked like. Oh, Jesus. The thing with Waluigi is he's not in any main Mario games. He's only in the sports and the parties. And I can fully appreciate that. He only shows up for sports and parties.
He's like that weird cousin that only ever gets invited to places where you need to make up numbers. Like, he doesn't come around for Christmas, but like, you know, when there's like a 21st birthday party and the family expect.
Yeah. You know, Waluigi made his debut in Mario Tennis, and I have to say, his body is the most tennis body of all the Mario characters.
Yes, I agree.
The end boss of Wii Sports Tennis. It's not even a tangent. He does look like Wario's dad.
He does. I could
get down with that.
I've got this. Right. If Craven had a child with Melissa McCarthy, then you've got Wario.
Oh, Jesus H. Christ. Oh my god. But imagine sad Wario, sad teenage Wario.
Like emo.
Writing his absent dad a letter as his dad's just wrestling bears.
Shooting.
Wherever. Yeah, it's like, father, I wish you'd paid me more attention. I'm turning down a bad path and I'm robbing all Mario's mushrooms.
Mate, that would make a lot of sense because then it makes sense why he's gone through all this funny shit because he's I use humor as a defense mechanism.
I fear for Waluigi's mental state. He can only play tennis and he can only be evil in tennis. He doesn't want to be the hero.
He didn't even get invited along to Smash.
No, he didn't. He's not even in. Oh, Jack, Brad, I'm going to have to end it there, mate. We've got to get on with the episode. I want to continue this for another 5-10 minutes, but I cannot. And I have so much to say about Wario right now. I must end.
Posted on the Twitter at some point where James is Wario was.
I have a story about Wario and I don't know if I can repeat it on this podcast. I generally don't know.
No, let's move on.
It's about a real Wario doll and I cannot. Ask me about it on Twitter and I'll repeat it in full. It's quite funny. It's disgusting. It's awful.
Right, lazy nipples, carry on.
Okay, so, Flash Thompson's off to the party. He's having a party.
I admitted that because there is laser nipples.
I am so lightheaded right now.
Right,
Flash. I am so lightheaded. I do apologize. So Peter Parker, before he heads off to this farewell party for Flash that he's helped arrange, he has to go to the Daily Bugle to sell pictures of his encounter with the Shocker.
Oh, he's finally cashing in on them.
Yeah.
He's gone quite a while without a payday because didn't his fight with the lizard, Jameson turned down the photos?
I don't know if he did. He just didn't believe them. I don't know. I've completely forgotten.
He said he weren't incriminating enough for Spider-Man. The photos weren't incriminating of Spider-Man.
But Spider-Man, as you'll know, notice he's got a web backpack.
That's just ingenuity. He's starting to get really creative, man. He's Ghost when they're doing the pottery and they got in the bottom. He's doing that, but with web.
I don't know how secure this web backpack would be because surely all the shit in it would fall out because there's holes.
Well, the web's sticky, isn't it? Yeah. So stick to it. It'd be having a bag of wax paper. Not wax paper as in the stuff that you bake with, but wax paper and the stuff that rip out hairs.
I guess so. He's going to say...
What's he need a backpack for? What is in the backpack?
It's the first time he's fucking put in his clothes. It must be his clothes and his photos and his camera.
Fed up of losing it all.
So he goes to the Bugle to sell his photos. He bumps into the Lovebirds, Betty Brant and Ned Leeds. And he invites them to Flash Thompson.
Lovely time now that Peter Parker is not a part of their life. It's amazing as soon as you dismiss him, your life becomes better.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if this is any better for Ned or Betty. They're clearly happy together. But Peter kind of great gate crushes, and he says to him, "Do you want to come to Flash Thompson's party? I know you don't know him personally, but he is the star quarterback of Empire State University. Would you like to come to his farewell?" And they're like, "Yeah, okay."
It's just like, is it a free bar? Will there be hors d'oeuvres?
Yeah.
Deals.
They accept. He goes to do the business with J. Jonah Jameson, the editor, but he's phoning in his son, John. So John is the astronaut. He got mutated a few episodes ago when he come back from space and he went a bit crazy. Now he's being allowed back in the Space Force. That's what it's called. So
it's not a good
he's, don't, no, don't put him back in that, but he's been allowed in and they're talking career stuff. But Pete waits for him to finish the conversation and they start debating prices after that phone call's over about the photos of the shocker. Meanwhile, Craven has broken into Norman Osborn's house and is now threatening Norman Osborn's butler.
Yeah, because the butler knows where the money is. Because that butler's been helping himself to them 50s every now and again anyway.
Yeah. So Craven picks up the butler and interrogates the butler. Says, "Don't fucking lie to me. I'll kill you because I can kill a lion. I can kill your goddamn old ass butler self."
"Hey, that's a nice suit you've got there. Be a shame if someone was to grease it." you like this? I'm greasing it.
He picks him up and says, "I know you're not lying because you're too frightened to lie."
Oh, I don't know. I don't know whether that would be true.
Bollocks.
I guess so.
He's just like, "I know you're not lying because I can smell the shit in your pants. Can I borrow some? Please?"
when hunters go out in America.
Dress like trees.
Smother themselves in buck piss. This is like bathing it.
So Peter Parker and Harry Osborn, they get dressed up for this Flash Thompson's farewell party. They take Harry's car. Pete says, "It's a good thing you've got this boat, Harry." And I assume that's slang. And he refers to, this car's good. This boat's good because I wouldn't be able to pick up the gals on my motorcycle. And I'm thinking, what must be going through Harry's head? Well, Pete, I'm glad, but this isn't a boat. This is a car.
I'm going to stop you right there, and I'm going to start pointing your attention to the tiny little caption on the left of this panel where it says, "Attention, spider files."
Oh, fucking hell, that's close. You could read that as speeder files, Pete.
Exactly.
Files, and everyone with an S at the front. That's very on the nose.
I also like the Spider-Man logo that has literally just been squashed. Like, you know when you like move a photo in Word and it just literally just crushes down and loses all quality and stuff.
And they finish the editor's note on smiley. What the fuck does that mean?
It's smiley. It's
we know from the facts that Stanley was not on any drugs. How the fuck does he come up with this stuff?
But this is like, when you see like middle-aged women, like the people that are on like Moms of X-Town Facebook group.
And they share like a photo of a minion saying, "I don't care what you think of me." And that's it.
For some reason, the minion is in like a leather jacket.
For some reason, the minion's arse is showing or something.
Yes, that sort of thing. Oh. But those are the kind of girls that's just like, "I saw Debbie's little boy earlier and he was smoking the marijuana. Oh my God." I kind of feel like that's what Stan was like. He's just like, "This is what cool people do. This is how they talk."
Well, those type of people, they believe any picture with the bold meme font is true. Like, it is, if you put anything in that font, that bigger meme font, it's true, 100% true.
In a way, it's true in their own minds.
I will say, genocide is a terrible thing, but if I could take every minion out ever with my bare fucking hands...
I don't know, man. There's something deep down inside of me.
There is something within me, and I would love to fucking batter one of them.
See, this is the thing, man. This is what I was about to say. There's something deep down inside of me that looks at it and goes, that'd be fun to kill.
Like, yeah, if you go to Gru's fucking like base, drag one out and just beat the shit out of him.
They clearly wouldn't miss it. Because, like, with me too, they don't miss the one that disappears.
Yeah, they can make, just make another. What are they? Just like Mawams, big fucking jello Mawams. I would fucking happily, this is like dark, but, you know, real fucking go to town, like, really beat the piss.
The thing that I'm thinking, like, is if you punched the goggle, like you know, the one on one. Would it be like a cookie cutter? Would
it be like... Oh, we have went so far off tangent. Oh my god.
It's too much Craven, man. It's too much man to handle.
Give Craven a lot of spears and just let him go to town on like 10 or so minions.
All we need to do is promise him 20 grand because he doesn't collect beforehand. We know this now. Right, 20G. Get rid of the minions, possibly the minion memes and the mums that retweet them, and then come back for your money. And tiny 12-point font, dead.
Oh, shit it out.
What a way to spend our anniversary, mate.
I am so sorry, guys. This has been an episode completely dedicated to anything but Spider-Man. The Wario lineage and minions and what we'd fucking do. Oh, we'd do so much, so much.
Clearly just got something against yellow things.
Oh, God. So where was we? It was Harry Osborn's car. They off to pick up Gwen Stacy and Mary Jane Watson to take to Flash Thompson's farewell party. They kind of catcall her. They kind of hang out the car, like leering at them.
Well... She's dressed very provocatively and she's standing on a street corner.
That's not her fault, Brad.
No, I'm just saying that's what she's doing. She
ain't doing a damn thing.
She's dressed provocatively on a street corner. She could be touting for business.
Okay. I'm still going to say you don't lean out the fucking car window and just start howling at them.
Well, what if you know them and you know it'd be taken in jest?
Okay, that's happened to my girlfriend Jade with someone she knows. It was my mum. My mum whistled at her out the car. My girlfriend turned around with both middle fingers up.
Yes, yes, fucking full respect. That is
the best reaction. Anyone leans out a car window to you and does that, I think you have to automatically go for that. You cannot take that shit.
Like you draw for him as well, like fucking like freeze.
Yeah, but it's like Red Dead Redemption when you're in a duel, you got to draw.
dead are the birds.
So they pick up Harry Osborn and Pete, pick up Mary Jane and Gwen. They go to the diner for Flash's farewell party. They arrive. Mary Jane just starts dancing.
Of course she does. She's still on her tits.
Gwen's helping out with the party, like putting the decorations up and helping serve burgers. And she says, Mary Jane dancing. She's like, I'm not going to fucking stand for this. I'm going to go and dance. I'm going to have a dance off almost.
Oh, God, I'm having fucking flashbacks to Spider-Man 3.
But it's not really a dance off. They're just both like kind of jiving to the music and getting their, vibing.
They are doing that very stereotypical white girl dancing in any sort of white media.
They're just wiggling, basically.
Yeah, basically.
But fucking Harry Osborn and Flash are like the most lecherous stares of all time. Their eyebrows are raised to the heavens, just staring.
Just like all the way up into the fucking hairline.
Yeah, which, look at this.
Pete's hairline is that of a 40-year-old man's.
Harry's is so far back.
Sideways cornrows.
But there, Harry says, Key, that the way MJ's looking at Gwen, there's going to be an explosion. They're going to start fighting. They're actually going to start fighting. But the explosion is from another source because Kraven the fucking Hunter just comes straight through the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He's just like, he's like, he's actually says, if you value your lives, don't anyone move, because this is a party, and we go. Me, Simon says, in musical statues. Yes, 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 we are.
And he says, oh yeah, the son of Norman Osborn is here, and I want him.
I want him.
I want him. So Craven's come for Harry, the son of Norman Osborn, and he grabs Harry and goes to escape. But he's stopped by none other than the amazing Flash Thompson.
Yo, I've said this once, and Flash Thompson is actually a stand-up guy.
Flash steps in front of Craven, who's carrying Harry off. Harry's actually fighting back, but it's no use. Craven's pretty superhuman, superpowered. He's, you know, roiding. He's roid raging.
Oh, so he fucking slaps him as well.
Oh. Flash just gets slapped with a backhand, and he's one and done.
One and done.
And Harry Osborn is screaming in the background.
You know, it's blood curdling as well. You know, he's just instantly filled his pants.
So Harry leaves the diner via Craven.
And you know, Craven's the kind of guy that like enters through one wall and exits through another.
Yeah, you know, he's just put Harry through another wall.
Oh, yeah.
So Pete's run off to get changed while all this is happening. And of course, Spider-Man shows up on the scene.
See, this is the other thing about putting two together. Like, literally always shows up. Like, imagine the amount of robberies and burglaries that are happening whilst he's like out partying.
Mm-hmm.
And then like this one issue. Well, then again, I guess it is Craven.
Spidey. I don't even know. I was just thinking about minions again, mate.
It's just fucking foaming at the mouth.
So when Spider-Man steps in, Norman Osborn is also en route because he's just had a phone call from the butler saying, "You've got to get here now. He's after your son. He's going to be tracking down your family." Norman Osborn gets in a taxi. It's like, I'll give you triple fare to get there. Like, you get there now, I'll give you triple fare. And I bet this taxi driver's like, well, Norman, the Uber surge rate is currently at 4x rate. So triple the fare, it's not cutting the mustard.
And he's just sort of like, can you actually take a left there? And he's the guy's like, well, on the app, you actually have to change the address.
He just silently like holds his hands up at the app on the phone.
He just points at it.
Yeah.
like Harry gets out of the car. He's like, my son. And then he looks down at his phone and he's just like, yeah, great chat.
You're on the clock. So Spidey and Craven, they're fighting atop this a construction site right by the diner. They're on top of that. Scrapping, normalized buns on.
Where's Harry? What's he done with Harry?
Harry's just like on the floor.
He's crying. He's like worming on the floor. Like no.
Spider-Man's kind of taken Craven's attention for now, and Craven leads with this line that says, "In the jungle, it's known that the first blow is meaningless. Only the final smashing attack actually is worth anything." And I have to disagree. If you're bit by a fucking cobra, it is the first blow that ends it.
The cobra's just slithering away, just going, one and done. That's what I always say.
Because, yeah, you can have the final attack, but the cobra is fang deep in your arm, kind of sending all its venom into you. You can, like, feebly slap it on the head as your arms go numb, but that final attack is...
Mate, you say feebly, but we've established this many a times. When you've got a dead arm, that is a fucking baseball bat of meat.
So what Craven should do is get two cobras, slap them on each arm, get full of venom, and just start flailing his arms around.
Windmilling.
So they're fighting on top of the construction site. Craven gets a drop on Spider-Man after quite an acrobatic battle. He stuns Spider-Man with the nipple lasers that, of course, paralyze him.
The way how he's leaning into it is...
He puts his hands on his hips and shoots them. Ooh, I got you, Spider-Man.
His face is just like pure strain as well. He's like...
He has to like flex it. He has to like hold his hands on his hips and like flex it and like shoot it out. He has to like milk himself.
because that's the thing. There's no way to like activate these, because that's the thing that I kind of like about a lot of the Spider-Man like technology. It's very explained, like Spider-Man's web shooters, they have like a little button on his palm. The shockers have little buttons on the side of his shock gauntlets. Doc Ock's robotic arms are controlled by his mind. You know, it's all explained, but this, it's just like, laser nipples, accept it.
Yeah, it's just a thing, and you're going to enjoy it. And Spider-Man's now paralyzed by it.
To be fair, I would be fucking paralyzed by this as well, because I would just be folded in half.
Laughing. Creasing. Yeah. Norman Osborn has showed up on his scene, and he runs to kind of comfort Harry, who's a bit distressed. He's not like weeping or anything, but he's a bit freaked out by the whole thing. Craven sees this, and with Spider-Man dispatch, he just whips, he throws his like leash, a whip down, and whips Norman Osborn up like in one single maneuver.
Oh, that's rough as fuck.
Like,
oh man,
see that when Spider-Man's down, when Spider-Man's paralyzed, Craven's just beating the shit out of him.
Craven's been playing too much Red Dead Online, man. That's what that is. Yeah,
it's like when you're trying to get, he's like, where's my money?
What?
That boy. After you just patted your horse, you're like, you're a good boy. You're a good boy.
It's like, it's okay, girl.
Yeah, when you've just broken her legs. It's okay, boy. You're a good boy.
I can't tell you the amount of times I've literally just fucking face planted a tree on that game by accident. Like, I would be dead if I was in that situation. Literally, be dead.
So he's doing that like money, like Arthur Morgan money lending mission. Yeah. It's just kind of like, if you wanted the money, you shouldn't have borrowed the money. Like, where's my money?
Beating the shit out of that leukemia patient.
Yeah, he's just coughing all over you as well. Yeah, so he's beating up on the paralyzed Spider-Man. Norman Osborn's showing up. Norman Osborn runs to Harry. Norman is whipped up to the top of this concrete construction site, the girders and all that, by Craven. He just pulled him up going, where's my money? He's doing it again. He's like,
you know, he's doing it like slowly, like one hand at a time as well. It's like, where my money? Where my money? Where my money?
And Norman Osborn, of course, due to traumatic induced amnesia, doesn't actually know what the fuck Craven's on about. But so Craven shows some mercy, and he's like, well, it's a Green Goblin and Spider-Man. It's their fault. They fucked up. It's nothing to do with Norman Osborn. I'll show some mercy. So he drops Norman onto a girder and runs off.
Okay.
Just puts him down on a girder. But Spider-Man comes to his senses and gets up, and Craven's running away. Spider-Man goes to chase him, and Norman Osborn just tried to get up and like free himself. But because he's on a girder, when he's like trying to get up, he kind of just falls off the girder.
Oh, God. No.
And like, he just goes straight down. And Harry's just screaming like, Dad!
Daddy, no! Like, in my head, every time I hear Harry talk, I'm just imagining like Joe Pasquale's voice. Like, Daddy, no!
No, he's just falling straight off the building.
Like, straight down.
Like, how did he fall off? I don't get how he fell off. I don't
how Craven's like, I'm gonna show mercy and leave him on top of this whole entire construction site. It's like, you know, I've been thinking, right, I had this thought pop into my head the other day. I'm sorry to go off on a tangent. But you know how, like, the developers added into the Spider-Man game that if you booted someone off the side of a building, the webbing would like stick them to the side of the building. Now I know quite a bit about Spider-Man. I know that Spider-Man's webbing is designed to dissolve after so many hours.
So that guy's dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God. Just go there. Like, help. Help. So Norman Osborn has no luxury. He's fallen to Earth. Spider-Man has to choose between Craven and the falling Norman. He, of course, chooses Norman and saves the day. But Craven's gone.
He's got two web shooters, man. What's he doing?
Yeah, and this guy's just sprinting.
Yeah.
Like, and he's sprinting off the top of a girder. I don't know where he's gone, but he's gone.
Now you see me, Spider-Man, and now you don't.
So
he's just hiding behind a girder. Like, you can still see like, all the lion's mane and that around it. He's like, no, I'm not behind the girder. I'm somewhere else.
So they're all, everyone's safe. There's a crowd that's appeared. Ned Leeds, Fred Farswell, they're all there kind of reporting for the Bugle. J. Jonah Jameson's, of course, there because he's a friend of Osborne and goes to comfort Norman, goes, you know, I hope you're okay. Do you want to talk about what just happened? You know, I want to hear the truth, really, about Spider-Man. Why did he do that to you? Why did he try and murder you like that? And Norman says, well, maybe you should tell the fucking truth, Jameson. Spider-Man's just saved my bastard life.
Ooh, harsh truth to Jameson.
And of course, Spider-Man gets changed into his civvies and Peter Parker happens to show up, flustered.
Like, Jameson just winces after that and just goes, I thought he liked me.
But Peter,
I thought we had something special.
And so Pete shows up after, you know, not in his normal gear, and he wants to kind of confront Flash Thompson for the final time. Before he goes off to the army, he wants to bury the hatchet, and he just wants to wish Flash all the best, and says that he's going to come out on top of the.
Hope you don't get shot.
Yeah, that pretty much. But he's quite worried as well. It's the end of this is the final panel, and he's, you know, Flash is a big Spider-Man fan, and the whole everything subsides, and the party dies down, and Flash goes off, and Pete says, like, well, he's thinking. Flash is like, Flash loves Spider-Man. He's Spider-Man's biggest fan. I can't even tell him the truth. And he might not come back from the war, and I hope he makes it. The good guys always win, don't they? And that's it.
Well, what nice way to end a comic. It's like, I hope he don't die.
Yeah, that's it. No, that is genuinely it. That's over.
I suppose this is the thing where they interject a little bit of realism into the day-to-day struggles of people of Parker's age at the time. Because obviously, like, if you was collecting the Spider-Man comics and you were of Peter's age rather than the younger demographic, some of your friends might have been drafted and you might have been going through this yourself.
Yeah, it seems like a bit of a shitty situation, but that's it. The next issue is in regards to, you know, the Vulture's back. I haven't seen him in a while.
He's just been in the sewers. Like, that's what it was. He was fucking nesting in the sewers. The lizard come along, disturbed the prick, and he's just like erupted from his like 90-year sleep. Or is he in prison? What is the Vulture doing?
I don't know. But yeah, we'll find that next issue, man. Any homework before we wrap up?
Just another huge thank you to anyone who's picked up our podcast and stuck with us through the whole year. I know that we had one moment during the year which was really tough, but, you know, having people support and them speaking to us and, you know, wishing us luck and checking in on us, it meant the world. So, yeah, just as another massive thank you. Like, really can't be more grateful because, you know, me and James, we've had a lot of projects over the past and they've never really took off. But this probably wouldn't have took off either if it weren't for the fact that, you know, people actually like tuned in, actually engaged with us about it. And, you know, we thank you for that. And yeah, just thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, guys. I couldn't have put it much better myself. But next time we have issue 48 of The Amazing Spider-Man. So we're heading up to issue 50. Spider-Man's getting sadder and sadder, and the villains keep on coming. But that's it for us. You can find us at...
Just remind me of Smash Mouth then.
Less said, but no more tangents. We end, yep. We end now. Okay. You can find us at Spidey Podcast on Twitter. We'd love to hear back from you. So yeah. Hit us up, and if you like the podcast, tune in next time when we return to see Spider-Man's eventual encounter with the Vulture once more. I've been James, that's Brad, and we'll see you next time, guys. Goodbye.